Well, I hope you, but if you are, you're in luck because this is by far one of my shorter sermons. So with that said, let's begin. On February 12th, 1809, in a one-room log cabin with a dirt floor on a farm near Hodgenville, Kentucky, a baby boy was born, right? When this boy was only 9 years old, his mother passed away. He was a boy with a rugged determination. And although he only had less than a year of formal education, he succeeded in becoming a lawyer. However, he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to really make a difference, and so he entered U.S. politics. And for him, if he was going to have the maximum impact that he could have, he believed that he had to achieve the highest position in the land, and that was becoming the president of the United States. And no kiddos, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. He's not nearly that old. Being a man of perseverance, he tried and tried again, and he failed and failed again. His list of failures were quite embarrassing, and I'm going to share many of them with you. In 1832, he lost his job and was defeated for state legislator. In 1833, he failed in business. In 1835, his sweetheart passed away. In 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. In 1838, he was defeated for Illinois House Speaker. In 1843, he was defeated for nomination for Congress. In 1846, he was elected to Congress, but then lost renomination in 1848. In 1849, he was rejected for land officer for Illinois. In 1854, he was defeated for U.S. Senate. In 1856, he was defeated for nomination for vice president. In 1858, he again was defeated for U.S. Senate. But in 1860, he was elected president. And by now, you probably all know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Abraham Lincoln, probably the greatest of American presidents. And now he's at least in the top five, right? You see, his persistence paid off, right? Where I would have given up long ago, he succeeded. He persevered. You see, he had a vision of what he wanted to see happen, what he wanted to do. And the setbacks that he had, they did not deflect from him from his goal, right? They did not deter him from what his goal was. See, this morning we are talking about Zacchaeus, okay? You see, like Abraham, Zacchaeus had a goal. He had a goal. He wanted to catch a glimpse of Jesus, but he was too small to look above the crowd, right? Now, it's kind of hard for me to relate to Zacchaeus. I've never really been one who's had trouble finding someone in a crowd. But I don't remember when the last time I had trouble finding someone in a crowd. But I know many of you struggle with this, and so you can relate to Zacchaeus, and you know who you are. But hopefully I don't get in too much trouble after church. You see, Zacchaeus could have given up, but he didn't. He didn't give up. Zacchaeus had a goal and nothing would deflect him from it. So he did something that was very undignified for a top Roman tax collector, tax official, whatever you want to call him, to do. He put his heart and soul into it, and even to the point of having the indignity of climbing up a tree. That was not something that you would have done in his position. All because he wanted to see Jesus. Okay? Let's read together this story. So if you haven't turned there yet, I encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 19. And we will pick up with his story in verse 1. So Luke chapter 19, Verse 1 through 10 says this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. Now a man named Zacchaeus was there. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to get a look at Jesus, but being a short man, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, because Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, because I must stay at your house today." So he came down quickly and welcomed Jesus joyfully. And when the people saw it, they all complained, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." But Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, half of my possessions I now give to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone of anything, I am paying back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So this morning we're going to look at some important things that we can find, some important points. And I have three I want to share with you this morning. And the first point is this. We have to look for Jesus, okay? We have to look for Jesus. See, our text says that Zacchaeus lived in Jericho, and that he was a tax collector, and as a tax collector, he was extremely unpopular, and perhaps very lonely. And as we know from our study through the book of Matthew, who was also what? He was also a tax collector. We have seen as we see tax collectors that they were often the lowest form of life in Jewish society. They were essentially outcast. Even the Pharisees understood how awful they were. In Luke 18, Jesus was telling a parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector, and they were both praying. And in verse 11, it says this. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself like this: "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, extortionists, unrighteous people, adulterers, or even like this tax collector." Right? The Pharisee didn't want to be like the tax collector. Because tax collectors, they didn't have a really good reputation for anything. They were dishonest. They did charge more than they were entitled to. And they used the Roman army to enforce their will. And there was no court of appeal to resort to for the people to come and say, "Oh, I was cheated out of what I owed," or "He took more than what was owed from me." There was nothing like that. So tax collectors, they weren't very nice people. And Zacchaeus was also very likely a hard businessman. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been a chief tax collector, and he wouldn't have been rich. Okay? He was a hard businessman. But this hard businessman came looking for Jesus. Okay? You see, he felt a need to see Jesus. He felt a need. Everyone around him, they were keeping him from Jesus. And sometimes we find it challenging ourselves to see it. For us, it's hard for us to look past some people's exteriors to see that inside they need Jesus, right? That's what we need to see. See, Zacchaeus heard about Jesus and he wanted to see him. So the only way he could get to him was to climb up a tree. You see, people often look for Jesus in many different ways. We have Zacchaeus climbing up a tree, right? There, we read about in Mark 11, blind Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus. Luke 8 talks about Jairus, he came running to Jesus in his need. And in Mark 2, we see the paralytic, he was let down through the roof of a house for Jesus. All of these were obstacles in some way. And they all overcome those obstacles for one reason: to get to Jesus. See, Zacchaeus found Jesus, and he did what he had to do to find him. He didn't let the struggles in his life or those around him keep him from seeing Jesus. And church, as servants of God, we are called to help other people find Jesus too, okay? My second point from the story today is that we must invite Jesus in. Invite Jesus into our house. Invite Jesus into our life. However you want to really look at it. But we got to invite him in somewhere. In Luke 19, 5 through 6, which I've already read, I'll read again. It says this: "And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down quickly, because I must stay at your house today.' So he came down quickly and welcomed Jesus joyfully." You see, Jesus, he knew what Zacchaeus was longing for, okay? For we see Jesus' mission clearly stated in the last verse that we read in verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." See, the Bible records that Zacchaeus was absolutely delighted when Jesus invited himself for dinner and welcomed him gladly. And it reminds me of some of the words of Jesus in the book of Revelation, where he said in chapter 3:20 to people who are looking for him, he said this: "Listen, I am standing at the door and knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into his home and share a meal with him, and he with me." Zacchaeus took that literally, right? He took that literally. Verse 7 says that when the people saw it, they all complained. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner," right? But we have to remember, Jesus had one thing on his mind. He was interested in finding who? He was interested in finding the lost. Zacchaeus was one of those lost. And he found him. He found Zacchaeus. And guess what? If you are a believer sitting here this morning, he's found you too. He's found you. And as sheep who were lost and now found, church, he wants you to be looking for the lost as well. Search. We all know people, right? So do we have a heart like Jesus for the lost? That's what we need. We need to see and find those Zacchaeuses in our life, right? My third point is that our encounter with Jesus will change our lifestyle. Change you, right? I find it interesting that Jesus didn't say as he walked into Zacchaeus' house, "Today, salvation has come to this household." No, he didn't say that. Jesus said that in verse 9, and it was as a response to what Zacchaeus said in verse 8. And this is what he said. Verse 8 says this: "But Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, half of my possessions I now give to the poor, and I have cheated, if I have cheated anyone of anything, I am paying back four times as much.'" See, Zacchaeus is showing here a real change of life, okay? He's changing his lifestyle. And that's what a real change looks like. Because becoming a Christian can seriously change who you are. Becoming a Christian should change who you are, okay? Believing in Jesus is not simply giving intellectual assent to the teachings of Jesus. It's more than that. It's putting his teachings, right? His teachings, all the Word of God, into effect in our life. That's what it means. James put it very well when he said in his book, James 2, 14 through 24. I don't have it on the screen because it's quite long, so I encourage you to turn there with me. James chapter 2. We're going to be starting in verse 14. So in James 2, 14 through 24, it says this. What good is it, my brother and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can this kind of faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat well, but you do not give them what the body needs, what good is it? So also faith, if it does not have works, is dead, being by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works. You believe that God is one, well and good. Even the demons believe that and tremble with fear. But would you like evidence, you empty fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? You see that his faith was working together with his works, and his faith was perfected by works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, now Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. You see, Jesus recognized that salvation had come to Zacchaeus, okay? He saw there was a change, okay? And it wasn't because he invited Jesus into his house. It was because he had cleaned up his act, right? He had cleaned up his act. Zacchaeus decided to stop living for himself and instead live a godly life for God, right? That's what it means by letting Jesus change you. We can resist it all day. You have to be open to the change. As I close this morning, I told you it was going to be short. It may have been too short. There's no such thing. No, you're good. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you might be. See, Zacchaeus did what he needed to do to find Jesus, right? He overcame all the negative talk from the doubters in his life, right? He did whatever he needed to do to find Jesus. And that involved him climbing up a tree. Zacchaeus let Jesus into his life. He didn't keep him on the outside. He didn't say to Jesus, oh, you can come in a little bit. Just kind of come into the entryway of my life. Right? He didn't say that. He fully let Jesus in. And Zacchaeus let Jesus change his life. You see, he was no longer the man he was. He wasn't that man anymore. He was a new creation, right? The old has passed away and the new has come. We are no longer that old man. See, church, we have to do the same thing, okay? We have to do the same thing. Each and every day when we wake up, we have to lay down our cross to follow him. And as we do, we will see that God wants us to do the same for others, right? Like I talked to the kiddos about this morning with our book, inviting someone new, bringing someone in, right? That's what we're called to do. We need to do the same for others. If we want people to come to Jesus, we need to show them that our lives are different. Okay? As someone once put it to a Christian as he tried to share his faith, your life is speaking so loud, I can't hear what you are saying. And what that means is people won't hear a thing of what you are saying if your life does not align with what you are saying. You're a hypocrite, right? You're not living what you're speaking. People won't hear you. You can talk all you want, but your life's got to reflect it. So I encourage you this morning to be on the lookout for those around you that are climbing up a tree to see Jesus, because those are the people that Jesus wants to have an encounter with. Right? Those are the people that Jesus wants a relationship with. And those are the people that God is leading you to start that relationship. We don't have an ending song. We're going to go in prayer. And after this, we will transition from here to the Sunday school room here over on the side. Like I said, all are welcome to stay. I've got plenty of pizza and salad for all, but let's pray now and we'll transition. Father God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you call us. And like Zacchaeus, he did all that he could do to come find you, Father God. And guess what? You found him. You came searching for him. You knew that he needed you, just like you know that we need you each and every day. God, we thank you. We ask that you lead us and guide us to those people in our lives that are like Zacchaeus and doing all that they can, but the world just seems like it's against them. Help us to see those glimpses of those that are trying to see you, Father God. And help us to see that you called us to go and share. Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, I do want to lift up this meal that we're going to share here in a few minutes. Lord, I want to lift up this meeting we're going to partake in. I pray for your guidance. I pray for your hand on us. We thank you for all that you do in your wonderful holy name. Amen.